Thanks for checking out the Awaken Church podcast. Awaken Church messages are brought to you by our generous givers and partners. You can always learn more about the vision or give financially to support the work God is doing here at Awaken by visiting our website, awakenchurch.cc. If you can't make one of our weekly worship services, you can always watch online by going to our website and clicking on the Watch tab. And now, wherever you're joining us from, thanks for listening, and we hope this message encourages you.
Amen. Would you go ahead and take your seats? If you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to open up to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, before I jump in, I need to acknowledge a few things. My wife, Ashley, was in the earlier service. My mom was in the earlier service. And my daughter, Brooklyn, was in the earlier service. And for those of you who didn't know, she was the one on the video earlier that said I was essentially not the actual parent. We'll have a Father's Day video, and we'll make up for all that. Y'all will hear how incredible I am. Cody, who is our experienced pastor, he wouldn't let me see that video until live in the first service. So I was being ridiculed and laughing along with you. In all seriousness, I love Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of my favorite Sundays as a pastor. It wasn't always that way. In fact, growing up, Mother's Day was a non-negotiable for our family. You had to be in church, whether I was, you know, 7 or 17. Mother's Day was one where you made it happen. And, you know, I grew up in a single mom household, me and my two sisters, before my mom remarried. And it's amazing. On Mother's Day, she would threaten us that if we misbehave, she'd kill us. And so we'd wear the outfits, we'd go to church. I want to show you what I looked like back then. I got a picture for you guys for your own enjoyment. That's why I hated things like Mother's Day, all right? You know how long it takes to outlive red pants on a Sunday? My sister's candy cane dresses. I mean, hey, we did it, you know, we did it. So I want to preach a message this morning called The Importance of Honoring Mom. The importance of honoring mom. I think about the influence of moms in this church, in our community, but specifically in the life of Awakened Church. Those that have kids, those that serve in kids, those that have just, man, made such an eternal impact on our lives. What an opportunity we have today to honor and encourage those people. I also know, and I want to, this is important that I say this. I know that Mother's Day also can bring about some very difficult or oftentimes heavy emotions as well. And for some of you, this may be the first Mother's Day without your mom. For some of you, this day may be a reminder of the mom that you had, that you love, that you can't wait to see again. I know for some of you, it may be the first Mother's Day where you thought you were going to be a mother. And I just want to say, I see you, and I want to encourage you, and I want you to know, and I want you to hear directly from the Lord today that he loves you and he values you, and those emotions aren't missed. And so this morning, as I open up his word and encourage and affirm the institution of motherhood, the role that God designed, I want to do so in a way that's honorable to you and honorable to him and honorable to his word. So Ephesians chapter 6, if you got your Bibles, this is what Paul tells us. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life here on earth. Paul, in Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6, he goes through the roles of family and the institution of family. And in this particular passage, he reminds God's people, don't forget the commandments in the Old Testament. In fact, the Ten Commandments, Moses was given the command to give to God's people, honor your father and mother. And we got to remember that Jesus grew up as a Jewish young man with those commandments in his life. So Jesus grew up with this command to honor his mom. And we know that he did. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, I've oftentimes thought, you know, God could have chosen any way he wanted to send Jesus into the world. But God made a decision, I'm going to give Jesus a family. And I'm going to give Jesus a mom, and I'm going to give him a dad. And so Jesus was born into a family, born through Mary, and he grew up with this role of mom in his life, and he honored her to the extreme. In fact, when you look at his life and you read the Gospels, in the Gospel accounts, we have so many instances where he's dealing with his mom and he's dealing with his family, and Jesus never dishonored her. In fact, the wedding at Cana, Jesus' first miracle, right? His mom is at the wedding and she says, "Hey, Jesus, they ran out of wine. Can you fix the problem?" And Jesus in that moment's like, "Hey, woman, my time's not come yet." But he did it anyway. And I've oftentimes thought about that, like my own mom, right? It's like, "Mom, not now, this isn't a good time. But all right, you know?" And he didn't disgrace his mom. He actually honored her request in that moment. I think about the times where he was misunderstood in his ministry. And at times his mom, "Hey, Jesus, reel it in. Like, you know, you're offending people. Maybe not." And Jesus never ridiculed her. He never condemned her. He always upheld her. Even at the cross, when Jesus is hanging on the cross, breathing his last breath, and he has the weight of the world on his shoulders, Jesus looks out at his best friend, John, and he says, "John, behold your mother." In other words, "When I'm gone, take care of her." So even in his last breath, he chose to care for and honor his mother after he would be gone. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, there is nobody who's done more to honor moms and honor women than Jesus himself. In fact, when you think about Christianity, everywhere in the world that Christianity gets rooted, the treatment of women goes up. Like you look at Jesus' ministry, right? And Jesus lived in a culture where women were not valued at all. They didn't have the same social status as men. Their testimony in court was invalid. That eyewitness testimony meant nothing. And Jesus came into that culture, and what did he do? He started valuing women. He befriended them. He elevated them. He honored them. He invited them to follow him and be a part of his ministry. Some of Jesus' closest friends were Mary and Martha and Lazarus, right? And so we look at him and we go, okay, if this is how Jesus treated women, how much more so should we? And so what I want to do today is this, a very practical message, and it better get a lot of amens from the moms in the room, because I'm giving some instructions to those around you on how to honor you, practically speaking. And what I want to do is really give five big principles on how to honor your mom. Five ways to honor mom, because I believe it's incredibly important as the people of God that we honor those women in our lives. So five ways to honor mom. Here we go. The first one, and I'm going to jump in right away, is to show your mom love unconditionally. So love her unconditionally. Moms, this is where you would say amen. Amen. It's easy when you're little. Like when you're little, you love mom because she's doing everything for you, right? Like I one of the things I love about Mother's Day is in this church, I love, there's just an extra pride, especially for the young moms that come in, you know, and they're showing off the babies. And I love that when you're little, You love, it's reciprocated because the mom's changing your diaper, or she's feeding you, or she's packing lunch, or you're making crafts in elementary school or back in A Kids. It's easy because it's innocent, and you don't really know. I don't know when the point is in life where you realize, oh, mom's a human too, and she's not perfect. And if some of you hadn't figured that out yet, right? That mom sometimes makes mistakes too. Mom sometimes says words that I've been told not to say. Mom's got a temper, right? By the way, Beth Edson, she's at our Somerville campus, probably at this service. And I look back, man, on some of the memories we have together. You get to a point, you realize, okay, mom's human too. Here's my encouragement to you. In those moments, as you grow up, do the best you can to love your mom without condition. In other words, don't hold the things against her. Don't hold offense against her. You go, what does that actually mean? Here's what it means. It means that you see your mom, good and bad, all the great things, all the faults too, and you choose love anyway. And by love, I mean, don't mean a feeling. It doesn't mean it always has to feel good, but it means you make a decision. I'm going to love her for who she is, not necessarily what she does. And that's sometimes a hard decision. When I think about getting older and I think about when I became a teenager. Because what happens, this is what happens. When we start to gain independence and we don't need mom as much, it's easy to not love her as much. That's the risk of what happens when you love for what she does versus who she is. And I go back in hindsight and I go, okay, when I started having my freedoms and in high school and didn't need mom as much, or college, right? Spreading my wings and started paying some of my own bills. And then I got married and started forming my own traditions. And then I have my own kids. See, the older you get in life, what happens is your need for your mom may start to diminish. And it's in those moments you've got to find ways to love her anyway. Well, what does that look like for some of the adult kids in the room? Let me encourage you to send a text for no reason. Just reach out for no reason. Let her know, hey, I'm thinking about you and I love you today. Maybe invite her into the ordinary things of life. So yeah, holidays, that's one thing, but maybe just invite her to come to the ball game, or invite her to lunch for no reason. Invite her to brunch. Just create an opportunity to see your mother. Offer forgiveness. Any grudges that you have. Listen, maybe you're here today and you might have a grudge against your mom for some reason. Can I just tell you, life's too short to hold grudges. Choose forgiveness. See, unconditional love means this. I think about, even before I was a Christian, the first person that modeled for me the gospel. You go, what's the gospel? The gospel is that you're sinful, you're full of faults, but God in his mercy loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die for us, to forgive us and bring us into relationship with him. I think about how my mom modeled the gospel for me, how in my offense toward her, she chose to forgive me, love me, show me grace to keep relationship. And so when we get older and in our relationships with our moms or with our wives or with our grandmothers, right? How do we model that? Well, we model the gospel back to them. And we choose love, we choose forgiveness, we choose to keep relationship. That's what love unconditional actually means. And I want to encourage you, as we start these five principles, the first, choose love unconditionally. And if you're here and you go, man, my mom's done this, or man, she has these faults, it's so easy for us to pick out maybe what's not right. But choose to focus on what is right. And if there's something that needs to be made right, then take the initiative to do that. Love her unconditionally. Number two, listen to her attentively. Listen to her attentively. And this is a miraculous move in today's day and age, because we live in a distracted, digitalized society. Now, chances are, and I'm just going to show my age a little bit, but chances are your mom didn't grow up in a digital world. Chances are your mom didn't grow up on the internet like you are. I'm talking to the teenagers maybe a little below right now. Didn't grow up on TikTok, didn't grow up on Instagram, didn't grow up on Spotify, definitely didn't grow up with AirPods in the ear. That it's just become the norm now. And so when I say to you, how do you honor your mom? Well, you listen to her attentively. Here's what it means. Put the phone down. Take the AirPods out. Have eye contact, be fully present, and start asking some questions and listen to what might come out. See, one of the things that stands out to me about Jesus' ministry, Jesus' earthly ministry, John chapter 4, the woman at the well. You got a woman sitting at a well, actually coming to draw water from a well, with all kinds of relational baggage in her life. And Jesus does what no man in that day would have done at all. He acknowledges her presence, and then he starts asking her some questions about her life. He asks her for something to drink. He asks her questions about worship. He asks her questions about relationship. And he listened to what she was saying. And as he listened to what she was saying, what she actually needed came out of her mouth. But you never actually know what's needed until you listen to what's being said. Jesus modeled what it means to listen to somebody. I think about Mary and Martha, two of his friends, when their brother Lazarus died. And Jesus shows up at the house. Martha had all kinds of grief and pain. She was hurting because her brother had died. And Jesus doesn't condemn her when he shows up. You know what he does? He listens to her. He listens to her hurt. He listens to her frustration. And then he speaks life into it. But he was willing to listen to her. I think about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who was a lady that had all kinds of demons, all kinds of evil spirits tormenting her. She came to Jesus and Jesus said, come be a part of my disciple group. Come follow me. And we see Mary Magdalene in friendship with Jesus. You know, it's what set him apart was his ability to listen to people, specifically the women in his life. You go, well, what is that and how does that apply to me? For those of you that are married, and this isn't a marriage sermon by any means, but one of the greatest ways that you can honor your wife, who may in fact be a mom, is to listen to her fears, listen to her concerns, listen to her struggles, listen to what she's going through, listen to what parenting through her perspective actually looks like, because then you can respond and meet those needs. Kids, those of you that are here and you're teenagers, listen to your mom. I don't mean just listen to what she says to do. I mean, definitely that applies, at least to my own. That's part of the promise of your life will be long, right? Because if you don't, I'll kill you. But actually listen to the instruction. Listen to what she's teaching you. Listen to the wisdom. I mean, the book of Proverbs is an entire book, 31 chapters, of just wisdom that came, most scholars believe, from Solomon. And it's wisdom from a parent. And so listen to what she says. Listen to the teaching. Put the phone down. Because you can be physically present but emotionally absent. So let me encourage you in this listening attentively, man, be fully present. Be there and let that be a gift that you give to your mom. It's one way to honor her. One of the most dishonorable things to do is when your mom's talking to you, you're doing something else. So pay attention. That'd be another amen, mom. Number three. This will get some amen. Serve her joyfully. Serve her joyfully. Now, I would be willing to bet, and this is going to be an offense to some of the men in the room that I'm willing to just issue. Moms are the best helpers in the world. They're better than dads. Amen. Now, I ain't trying to start fights. I'm a husband and a dad too. Listen, when my kids want something, they'll come to me. But when they need something, like when it's desperate, they're running to their mom, you know? And she can issue the cry if she needs my help. But 9 times out of 10, it's like, we need moms. Like, this is an emergency. And honestly, I find myself there from time to time as well. I remember back when the boys were 4 and 2. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to be a big boy. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. Like, I'll give them a bath myself. Threw them both in this garden tub. We were up in the upstate at the time. Had a nice master bathroom, nice garden tub, and they're both in there hanging out. I'm thinking, I'm gonna take on dad duty and I'm good. I got it. Ashley, do whatever you want to do. And as I'm giving them a bath, I got Braylee sitting down, I got Bryson standing up, and y'all, it hadn't happened before and it's never happened since. But whatever Bryson had for dinner came out all over the back of Braylee. And like, it's all good till something like that happens. I read the books. You know, it's a great book. You know, What to Expect When You're Expecting. It's a great parenting book. I read the book, Bringing Up Boys by James Dobson. I tried my best to study up and be a good father. None of the books cover literal crap like that. And I found myself in that moment. I'm on one knee. I'm like, I don't want to seem weak. I don't want to seem like I don't know. But I'm like, Ash! And she comes downstairs and bailed me out, y'all. I mean, I don't know what to do right now, you know? I was desperate. And that's extreme. But there have been many times since where I'm like, babe, I don't know what to do right now. And I need you. I really need you. I need your influence. Need your impact. There's been times where there's been, as a father, you know, disagreements with the kids, or hey, we need that motherly touch to come in here. We need some care. We need some intimacy here. Like, take care of this situation. And I'm so thankful she could help provide that. When I think about all the ways that Ashley, or I think about my own mom, served us growing up. Like, you just think about it. Like, the job. Let's just take full-time work. Then you throw diapers in there and bottles in there or breastfeeding in there, groceries in there, right? The house, the laundry, the dishes, the order, the organization of it, the scheduling, the calendar, the carpooling, the ball games, the homework. Y'all, I can't do seventh grade algebra. I don't mind telling y'all that. Like, I think about all that she juggles, the snacks for ball games and just all the stuff. And so when the opportunity arises, whether you're in sixth grade, whether you're 16, or whether you're 60, the opportunity arises to in turn now serve that mom, jump up and do it with joy. Amen. Like, don't like, I'll get to it in a second. Not again. Like, pop up off the couch, you know? And if you really want to shock them, do it without being asked. Right? There you go. Now y'all with me, right? Do it. Like, find ways. Look for ways. Look for ways to serve her. Like, look for ways to serve in the house. Look for ways to, you know, I know today, like, hopefully there's been accommodations where she's not having to do anything today. But, like, let's lace that throughout the year. Look for ways to actually serve. And when asked, do it with joy. I think one of the most divine things you can do for somebody, and by divine, one of the greatest ways you could be like Jesus, is to serve people when they ask and serve people when they don't. You know, you think about the Last Supper. This is Jesus. He's just come into Jerusalem, and everyone's laying down palm branches saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, calling him a king. He goes into this upper room for the Last Supper with his disciples. They all think he's about to be established as the king of Jerusalem. And Jesus walks into this room, and you know what he does? He doesn't look for the best seat at the table. He doesn't sit down and go, okay, y'all come serve me. Jesus walks in, puts a towel around his waist, fills up a basin of water, a bowl of water, and he works himself around the table on his knees and washes everybody's feet. As if to say, this is what it means to be the greatest. Because the greatest among you is gonna be the least. So if you wanna be honored and elevated, serve. When I think about the greatest moms I know, the one that raised me and the one I'm watching raise our four, they serve with no strings attached. So listen, if you wanna be divine and Christ-like in your relationship to your wife, to your mom, to the ladies in your life, find ways to serve them when asked and most definitely when not. Serve her joyfully. Your mom's done everything for everybody growing up. So especially as you age up, look for ways. And let me speak for a second to those of you that are 40 plus and you have aging parents. Be proactive. Hey, what do you need done at the house? You got any projects going on? How can I come over and help? Those are the questions that you ask. Look for ways to serve even when they're not asking for it. Number four, fourth way you can honor your mom, speak of her respectfully. Speak of your mom respectfully. Now, I would be a hypocrite if I stood up here and told you that I never disrespected my mom to people, especially as a teenager, because sometimes they have rules or boundaries or punishments that are just unfair. Amen, anybody? Some of the things I regret are some of the things I said about my mom. Now, what was interesting is that I did have a rule in life. If you said something to my mom, we're fighting, you know? In fact, like, as I stand here today, my boys are in this service. They have permission. Anybody says anything about Ashley Bowers, they can brawl. It's fine. And you may not like that your pastor would say that, but that's how we roll. And if that doesn't fix it, they can call me and I'll help, you know? And then y'all can find another pastor. But, you know, it's put respect on Ashley Bowers' name. But I also think about it like this. Sometimes the words that we say, we may not think they're disrespectful, but they may not be honoring either. Proverbs 31, there's an entire chapter in the Bible devoted towards what a godly woman looks like. And in that particular passage, a couple verses I want to read for you, verse 28, 29. We're told that for the godly woman, her children arise and they call her blessed. And that her husband also blesses her and praises her and says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. A quick question, really inventory for all the kids in the room and all the husbands in the room. How are you blessing your mom and your wife? Like, what is it like to bless them with your words? And you go, I don't really understand what that means. Well, when you speak, because Proverbs also tells us that our tongues have the power of life and death, are you speaking life into your wife? Are you speaking life into your mom? Are you speaking words of encouragement? Not just appreciation, although that's great, thank you for what you do, but encouragements around who you are. Encouragement's around, man, how they are caring for you and how they're shaping you as a godly influence and how their impact is affecting you, like how their influence is actually shaping you. Like, when's the last time you just made a decision, I'm gonna speak blessing into the life of my wife or into the life of my mom? You know, the one of the things that drives me crazy in conversations, and this is to the husbands real quick, I can't stand when a husband refers to his wife as his old lady.
Amen.
I really can't. I'm like, if I keep a picture of our wedding in my office. I'm like, if I looked at Ashley on our wedding day and said, "What's up, old lady?" If I said that this morning, like, think about it. So why refer to that when you're with your boys? Why make that statement, right? Or even if teenagers, when mom makes a decision that you don't like or issues a punishment that you disagree with, be real careful how you speak about that to your friends. You don't have to like it to like her, right? And so in the what you say when she's in the room and even not in the room, choose to respect her all the time. Like, honor her with your words all the time. Don't say something about your mother that you wouldn't say if she was there. And if you would say it if she was there, then that's another problem, right? But honor your mom, respect your mom all the time. Guard your mouth, vow not to disrespect her, no matter the frustration, no matter the tension, no matter the disagreement. Just be resolved. Be resolved as a child and be resolved as a husband that no matter what, I will always speak highly of my wife and mom when she's there and when she's not there. Number five, and I'll land the plane with this one. Fifth way you can honor your mom very practically is to pray for her faithfully. Pray for your mom faithfully. Our worship team's getting ready to come back up. And we're actually going to have a time of prayer over our wives and over our moms in this room. When I think about the impact of a praying mom in my life, it's impossible. It's honestly impossible for me to imagine my life without that. I remember the days when, I mean, growing up, Beth Edson's a strong woman. And growing up, man, we gave her a tough time. And I think back to 16, 18, 20, when what she raised me in, I found out, I started thinking it was irrelevant for my life. And I think about college and the calls I didn't return and the times I didn't come home and, I just thought I was grown before I was grown. And I remember her telling me, like, "I'm praying for you." And I can remember some of the times where I would leave the house, like specifically at Christmas. And after the visit, you know, we went to church and she would tell me, "Hey, Brent, I'm praying for you, just so you know that." I'm like, "Thank you," you know, and I'd brush it off, but I'd think about it. Like, I'd actually think about it. And those thoughts of her praying for me went with me into so many decisions that I made. And I remember when I gave my life to Jesus in college, and I remember the phone call to let her know that I'd made that decision and the joy on the other end of that call, because who knows how many times she'd pray for that to happen. I want to encourage the mom right now that thinks your prayers are just hitting the ceiling, that thinks that, "Man, I've been praying for them. They're not coming back. They're not coming home. They'll never turn around." You think maybe it's in vain. There are no prayers offered up in vain. Your prayers don't die, and God's going to use them. And I want to encourage you to look at your son or look at your daughter and tell them. Tell them, "Hey, I'm praying for you." And you may not know the specifics of what they're going through. You might not know exactly what the struggles are, but be really direct with them and let them know. Because there is nothing that replaces the power of a praying mom. And for those of you who are here going, "Well, I had that growing up," can I just encourage you to return the favor? Like, you might think, "Well, mom's good. She's all right. She didn't have any struggles." That's not true. Y'all, mom's got fears. Mom's got hopes. Mom's got worries. Mom's got certain anxieties. Mom's got struggles. She's wondering if I need it anymore. Right? Because the older you get, you go, "What's my role? And Am I relevant? What part do I play in their life? Can I just encourage you? Ask her. Ask your mom, ask your wife, how can I pray for you? What do you have going on I can lift you up for right now? And when they tell you, text them a couple days later. Hey, I've been praying over that. I promise it has an impact in their lives. It's one of the greatest ways as a believer that you can honor your mom is by praying for her faithfully. I want to close this message with really an encouragement that's found in the Old Testament. We're going to sing a song in just a moment that we know. It's called The Blessing. And the song is written really with these verses in mind. In the Old Testament, God told Moses, God had led Moses to bring his people out of slavery and into the promised land. And God spoke to Moses and he said, I want this blessing to be spoken over my people. And it was really a blessing for their families. It was a blessing for their families' families. And it was a promise, a generational promise, that when God's favor is on you, his favor will ripple into future generations. And I hope that it's an encouragement for the moms in the room. So many times, the things that you do, you may feel like, man, it's not noticed. It's overlooked. It's unseen. It doesn't matter. Can I just encourage you that every sock in the laundry matters. Every lunch that you make matters. Every diaper matters. Every tear you cry or you wipe matters, right? Everything you do matters. And I pray this morning that as we pray this prayer and we sing this song and you receive it, that you'll be reminded that God's put you in that position for a reason. And he's got you invested in those people for a reason. And the seeds that you're planting now, they will bear fruit in generations to come. So would you stand to your feet all across the room? Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 says this. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. If you're a mom in the room, and would you just lift your hand? You stood earlier. I'm gonna ask you to raise your hand as high as you can. And with permission, if you're standing close to one of these moms, would you just reach over and put a hand on their back or maybe on their shoulders? And I'm gonna ask you to close your eyes. I'm gonna pray that blessing one more time, and then we're gonna sing it together as a church. These are God's words. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you, and may the Lord make his face shine upon you, and may be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. God, in these moments, I pray that promise of a prayer would be received by your people. And for every mom and for every wife in this room who is carrying out the role that you designed for them, I pray, God, they'd be encouraged. They would be affirmed. God, they would know that you place an immense amount of value on them as they shape lives both now and for generations to come. God, help them remember today and then Thursday and next Saturday and next Wednesday, the moments, God, where it gets hard. Help them remember that it's not in vain and that it's all completely worth it. And I pray they would feel your hand of favor and protection, and more than anything, your peace on their lives. We believe this and embrace it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.